Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest.
Hi, this is Eric Martin, and I give you the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal they wear galvanized underpants. It's Genghis and Redman.
Hi, this is Eric Martin from Led Zeppelin. No, that's not right. Mr. Big, Avantasia, all kinds of bands and beyond, and you're listening to the Genghis and Redman Show. Horns up.
Guys, you're on live with Ragman Mono E Mono. Genghis's tampon. He was out of tampons tonight. He wanted to be here really bad. But when it's leaking, you gotta plug that thing up. That said, I want to welcome back one of our favorite guests of all time, our brother from another mother, Mr. E Rex himself, Mr. Eric Martin. Give it up.
Hello, everyone. As I just spit up all over my chest like a baby.
How was that for an intro? You probably never had one like that, have you?
No, I haven't. I'm going to actually try to get the guys in the band or like the people at the clubs to repeat that same thing right before I come out.
Nice.
You know?
Well,
and then as I come out in the costume.
One day, right, when you play Houston again, you have to have Genghis and Ragman intro you. We could do something special with that.
Yeah, if he's talks to you anymore, that's him, slab.
Hey, we're gonna give you official Right to Rock T-shirt. They're kind of a rarity. They're a limited item thing.
A rarity. This is like two in the closet. Yeah,
pretty much.
You get one. And
we have one artist that will wear it. His name's Tracy G. He used to play with Dio. So Tracy sports it. He actually took a picture in it. We were like impressed.
Look, I love, if it's a good t-shirt now, it's got to be kind of like fit, not like those kind of thin t-shirts where, like, you know, guys that are like playing country western bands that are all cut and everything. It can't be like that. It's got to be like the everyman, the 100% cotton t-shirt, and I would definitely wear it. And you say it says Right to Rock?
Yeah, it says Right to Rock. Horns up on the back?
I'll think about it now. Yeah, of course.
Nice. Well, Eric, we appreciate that. So, hey, welcome back, dude. I know we talked, it's probably been about 6 months ago, and you said hit me up in March, but my calendar got fucked up on my phone, and it ended up being October. So, maybe it's been longer.
No worries. I probably said, hey, you know, the last time I talked to you, I have plenty of stuff to talk about. Well, not really. Time stopped. No, I've done a lot of stuff. Actually, right now, I'm kind of stressed and a little swamped a little bit from, I'm putting out a benefit for a friend of mine, this guy Mark Curley, who was a bass player that I've been playing with for, oh God, maybe 20 plus years. He's the guy that he's the go-to guy when me and Mr. Sheehan are off doing our business with the bigs, you know. But he's been a great friend of mine. But he had a stroke a couple weeks ago, and I'm trying to help him out with some bills and getting his feet back up. Up on another step to a different level, and I'm trying to enlist the people in the Bay Area. I put it on Facebook, and they, you know, I mean, of course, on my Facebook, it's like tons of Europeans and Asian persuasion and the whole Latin countries and everything, and they're all like, oh, I wish I could be there, but it's a very long way to go. That's kind of funny, but you know, to be there in spirit and also trying to get the Bay Area people and the rest of the West Coast to join me in this gig that I'm playing at the Blue Note in Napa, California on November 2nd. And it's with me and a bunch of my friends that I've played with over the years, basically guitar, bass, drums, keyboards, and three great background singers, and trying to make a night out of it, and, you know, get this guy going, get him back on track again.
That's awesome, man. Sorry to hear about your friend there, man.
Yeah.
That's killer that you're doing that for him, man.
Well, I was trying to get this gig around the Bay Area. I haven't played in the San Francisco Bay Area for, God, it has to be about 2 or 3 years, maybe three. And somebody approached me about this Blue Note. I've done a bunch of them in Europe. But when the lady goes, have you ever played Blue Notes before? And I go, the Czech Republic, about five times. And she goes, well, we're a little different. whatever. But, I was trying to work out a gig, and then all of a sudden my friend had a stroke, and I said, just make it special and take care of this guy at the same time. So yeah, Mark Joey, daddy, he's been around for a really long time. Underrated bass player, funk master, rock master. Used to work at a rehearsal place in Los Angeles called Mates, and a lot of the musicians that listen to your show know exactly where that is. Mates in North Hollywood on Lancaster. All the bands, I mean, God, when Mr. Big used to practice there, Foo Fighters on our left, you know, Suicidal Tendencies on the right, you know, Guns N' Roses in the big room. They never showed up, though, but they paid for it. But Duff and Slash were always in there jamming. But Mark used to work there, and he met all these great players, and he'd audition for everybody, but it was just like, he didn't get it. He didn't get to grab the brass ring, but he's, I think this is what happened with him recently, you know, because he has a little diabetes, but he also has been burning the candle at both ends. He's got 6-7 bands that he's been in, and it's too much for somebody. You know, it's great to work and all that, and I, you know, like, I hate sitting on the couch. Like right now, I'm literally sitting on the couch for the last 2 months, waiting to go back out with Aventasia. I just played the other day with the Trickster guys, but you know, it's but they're playing about all those bands, 6-7 bands like that. Oh God, that's tough on your system. Anyway, enough of that. We're gonna do everything we can for Mark Joly. And if any of your listeners know who he is, or musicians that have run into the same path as him, give him a shout out. He's got a Facebook, Marcioli. Or go on my Facebook, Eric Martin. You'll find it. It's got my pretty face on it from 20 years ago. I don't know why I still have that same fucking photo up there, but I look really good in that photo, and it makes me feel good. Alright.
That's awesome, dude. Well, you know what? Speaking of nostalgia, I was just... You do your research on us. I was doing a little research on you, even though I know a lot about you, but I caught a clip of the Eric Martin Band from 1983 on Dick Clark. I didn't realize you'd ever been on Dick Clark. Dude, yeah, how old were you on that, man?
I was probably in my 50s. No, 20s. Probably in my 20s. But, yeah, I've seen that same thing. They don't have the performance.
Yeah, that's what sucks.
It totally sucks, because if you saw that I did a song called Sucker for Pretty Face... Nervous, I'm crazy. When Dick comes up to me and says, "Hey, are you okay?" I'm sweating like I just performed, like, you know, a 2-hour show. And then I got this white makeup on. I look like some kind of a kabuki. You know, I got sweat pouring down. I look like I got freaking milk tears, you know? And I'm like, yeah, man. Yeah, it's hilarious. And even Dick, if you've seen that, I'm gonna kind of give you a synopsis of your, listeners. If you do run across that YouTube thing, it's hilarious, because Dick comes up to me and says, "Okay, look, before you go and sing your second song, give me your microphone, and then I'll reintroduce you, and you go up and play it, or, do your thing with it." And I go, okay, so. First of all, I'm sweating and I'm freaking out a little bit. And then he kind of changes the story. He goes, and the rest of the band, they didn't want to talk. They just wanted me to talk, right?
Yeah.
And so Dick goes, "Hey, Eric, introduce your band." I'm like, "What's up, about Chubba Boys of Wagga?" And I go, "Mark Ross, he's the wild man." And Mark's like, "Yeah, he's got. I mean, it's hard to, he's got like the black leather jacket with the studs and red pants or whatever, like total, Iron Maiden look, or not Iron Maiden, but Judas Priest kind of look." And it's like, "Yeah, bro, what's happening?" And then the next guy, this is Tom Duke from Oklahoma boy, hey, how you doing? And Troy Lucetta, who's the drummer for Tesla and has been for many, many years, but we played together in Eric Martin Band. So they go, "Hey, Troy, what kind of music do you listen to?" And like, he has chances to go like, Zeppelin, you know, he loves Zap Bottom and everything, and or Queen or something like that. And he goes, huh, a little Creedence? This is hilarious. Everyone's a little nervous.
Yeah.
And then Sir John Nyman, who's a guitar player for YMT now, is like, you know, Eric's a principal songwriter or something like that. And I'm off camera, and you can hear it. I go, like I'm doing my own applause. Like, and then he goes, okay, Eric, you're going to give me your mic. And I give him my hand to shake. And all of a sudden, we're in like a weird Dick Clark, Eric Martin, fireman's carry. You know, holding the hand and the microphone, or crisscrossed. And he's like, okay, I'm totally like an idiot. Anyway, it wasn't a stretch. I'm still that same guy.
It was pretty wild seeing that, though. I don't think I'd ever seen any footage of you that young. And then talking as well, man, because it looked like you were like, just like your adrenaline was just going nuts because you just played on American Bandstand, you know?
It's hilarious. Yeah, no, I was on all those, it was Bay Area stuff, it's called TV 20 Dance Party or something like that. I was on all those little shows, even in Houston. There was a couple shows. I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was some kind of thing. But yeah, they'd play my Sucker for a Pretty Face video, and wasn't a DJ, that kind of famous DJ, wasn't he from Houston? Redbeard?
We had a guy named Moby that was big.
Okay.
And he was a big dude, but Redbeard doesn't sound familiar.
Well, yeah. I mean, I did a lot of work back in the day, in 1983. I was trying to push that Sucker record. We were on tour with Night Ranger, and we did a little bit of the Eliminator tour with ZZ Top.
Nice.
Yeah, and then and the record company, we were on Elektra Records, and we got signed at the same time as Motley Crue. And I remember that. My Sucker for Pretty Face album cover, which is not good. Even the guy, Jim Welsh, who designed all the Journey records, because we were managed by the Herbie Herbert who managed Journey, he did our art for the cover, and it was just my face. And Eric Martin band is really tiny, and on the back, I've talked about this before, but on the back, the guys are all on the back cover by themselves, and we all just got haircuts that day, like a couple just so stupid. It looked like Hair Club for men, you know. It just looked really weird. But I was pushing that record and the videos and doing the thing. But Elektra Records, when they signed us, like I said, with Motley Crue, and on the cover of that Sucker record, there's me. And kind of in back of me, there's the shadows of a woman, the nude woman, and it's a shadow of her, and I'm the Sucker for Pretty Face, or I'm looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they left it that all scared because they thought it was like too X-rated, so they airbrushed her nipples off, right?
Oh, wow.
And then they gave her a bigger butt. I don't know why, maybe. I don't know why. And then
somebody was jealous. No, I'm kidding.
Somebody, and then the shadow looked like a sizzle stick, kind of, right? And then Motley Crue comes out, and it's, you know, they were okay. But anyway, they dropped us, I remember, in the middle of this tour, and we worked our way back with a couple station wagons, and worked all the way back playing clubs, and the clubs, even like in Texas, there was like Cardi's. Roxy's or something like that. But yeah, a lot of that stuff. Bowling alleys. All the way back home to put gas in the tank so we could make it across the Great Divide. You know?
The good old days, right?
Long answer. Anyway.
Well, let's jump into Avantasia. That's one of the more recent things you did. I can't remember if you've told us this before, but how you got picked by Tobias to get involved with the project, and then actually performed the first U.S. shows, which is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
So was Tobias just a huge Mr. Big fan? Because, I mean, if you look at the guys he's picked, like Jorn Landa and Ronnie Atkins, a lot of these guys, Klaus Meiner was on one, and
yeah,
it looks like he's just picking his favorite vocalist and saying, I want to work with these guys.
He does. I mean, he's been pursuing Bruce Dickinson for years, but yeah, he just goes on. Jeff Tate is with us, and he's loved Jeff Tate, and he sort of emulated Jeff Tate when he was younger. But Avantasia, and I said to guys, so it's Tobias, it goes Tobias, but call me Toby. I'm like, all right, and Kunta. Sorry. It's not bad racism. I'm just quoting from Roots. But anyway, where am I?
You're right over there.
I was in Budapest with Mr. Big, and I was super sick, super suffering hepatitis. I was super sick, and I couldn't do the gig, but it was sold out. The band was like, dude, I thought they were a little pissed at me because I wasn't taking care of myself. And I did go to the doctors that day, and I got a shot, something. And it kind of made it was a weird reaction, but I still had this really honking cough, and I definitely couldn't play the gig. But the band did it without me, and at the time, I was like, man, that's not cool, but they gave the option to the people in the audience, hey, you want your money back, or do you want to have us play for you? Or no, we're going to give your money back anyway, but we're going to play for you. We're going to turn the microphone on you, and you take your next place.
Oh, wow.
And that's exactly what happened. And then Toby and most of his staff from his record company and road managers and lighting designers that have been his friends for years that work with him. So he was telling them, man, we gotta go check out one of my favorite singers there. So they go, and they're all waiting in the audience, and the curtain opens up, and it's like spotlight on nobody on the microphone. And they came up to the sound engineer, Michelle, and said, where is he? And she goes, he's on the bus. You got to knock on the door 3 times, or at least, because he won't answer it. He's probably bundled up and feel his armor and stuff. But anyway, yeah, thanks. So we came to the door, knocked on the door, and pushed the button. Door opens up. He's got this gigantic box set. He's handing it to me, and I grab him a black magic marker and start signing it, thinking that it's like, a fan. And he goes, well, I am a fan, and you can sign this, but I want you to have this. I'll check it out. I have this, it's kind of an opera, but it's a German power metal band, and it's got 6-7 of my favorite singers on it, and it's live at Wacken in Germany, which is, 90,000 people. I'm like going, oh yeah, really? Okay. Look, I didn't know anything about Avantasia, and I was cordial, and I was apologetic that I couldn't be there. And he was explaining about, his struggles and trials and tribulations to get to this gig, and I'm not playing it. And he talks about it all the time anyway. Oh yeah, I dodged a bullet there. But when I went home after the tour, the next day I was back on track again. But a couple months later, I went home and I put these DVDs in, and I was blown away. Really cool metal music. It's hard rock and metal, and it's not like what I thought it was going to be. That's why I was a little skeptical. I thought it was going to be like some. There's this blonde woman in Avantasia. Her name is Amanda Somerville. Beautiful, gorgeous, beautiful woman. But I thought, is she going to dress up in like gold metal and have like a helmet and a plastic gold, lightning bolt, and sitting, with a fake cloud with with a couple strings on it, wheeled out like some kind of weird Pirates of Penzance Spinal Tap thing, you know. Here I come to save the day. I don't know what it. And I listened to it. Checked it out, and it was unbelievable. It was really, really good. And that 90,000 people—they're the headliners. It's a headline band. I mean, I've been in it now for on and off about 5 years. Yeah, and played 3 Vakans already. Played all the songs that I heard on that box set sung by other people. I mean, it's like a revolving thing. It's I think he calls it an opera mainly because it's his concept, you know, in his lyrics, and heaven and hell, and it's more of a spiritual thing, but a lot of humor as well, satire. And I sang on the one album, it's called Mystery of Time. I did a ballad.
Days I was thrilled by this road ahead. When the moment went over, what was to come? Not afraid of the distance, but the distance afraid of me.
I wasn't shocked or anything because, you know, I'm no stranger to a ballad, but I kicked ass on it and performed it all over the world. We did go to L.A. on that Mystery of Time record, and it was a smaller club, and it was okay. But we just, this new album, which is called Moonglow, we did a handful of dates here in the United States, San Jose, Worcester, Chicago. I think that was it. Oof, God, I hope there's not another one. But they're branching out to try to get some American attention for next year. It's really, really cool. Metal music, you know. And symphonic a little bit, it's got the keyboards in it, but great singing, and everybody sings everybody else's song. You know, like say if you got Ronnie Adkins from Pre-Maids, we're all singing in backgrounds with him, and they have background singers as well. I mean, it's just a really great show. It's like 3 hours, like this conversation. Sorry. But yeah, Tobias Sammich, man, he himself is just an amazing singer.
Oh yeah,
he's a star, you know. And we do. Klaus Meiner had a hit with these guys. It was called "Dying for an Angel," and he, you know, obviously, you know, there are some guys that are in real famous bands that join this. This tour, I mean, like Dee Snider did, obviously Jeff Tate, they've had a bunch of people, Joe Lynn Turner, you know, that stuff, but Klaus Meiner he sang this song on the record and the video, and I'm kind of the Swiss Army knife of rock, you know, in this band. They're like, oh, Klaus can't make it? Let's have Eric do it. And I do it, and I shine on that song. That's like, it's become my tune now.
Nice.
And another one, Twisted Mind. This really kind Jersey kind of thing. Me and Jeff Tate do the duet together. Yeah, it's and I've said this before, I would have probably never ever had a chance to do a duet with Jeff Tate or him, vice versa, here in the United States. That just doesn't happen. You know, we're coming from two different worlds, but in Aventasia, it's all hands on deck, you know.
What do you think about doing the heavier stuff? Is that something you kind of had wanted to do on the sly, or had that ever interested you before you got interested or got asked to join Aventasia?
I was scared, actually. I guess somebody else calling me, I shouldn't take that because that could be my big break, but this is my big break.
You know what? You get a big break every time we talk.
No. Nobody. Everybody else is sloppy seconds.
Oh,
wow.
I'm blushing.
Think of something better. Anyway, going to hell. Yeah, I was really scared about the whole thing. The ballad was simple, and I came in. It was a big, grandiose ballad called What's Left of Me. And when I went in for practice with that, they go, oh, yeah, that's great, but we would like you to do four or five more songs. Each guy gets about four or five songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really long show. Sometimes it's cut down. Sometimes it's longer when, like, recently, what's his name? I can't. A couple of them will have other commitments with their own band. And so I'll sing their songs as well, so I'll have to, you know, practice on that stuff. Sometimes I have a teleprompter, but with my eyes are so bad now, the font is so huge, and it's, oh God, man, it's ridiculous. I was at this club called Scog Froger, and it's in Switzerland, and The Darkness had just played, and we're up. And I'm singing this thing, and I couldn't see the teleprompter. I was way up on one of these high stages, like ramps, running around, doing my American Bandstand dance, doing my thing, you know, running around. And I see Jeff, and I see some of the people that are all looking at me like, the next line is, come on, you can do it. And I sang a line, with some heaven and hell kind of line, and I look at Jeff, and Jeff's got his head in his hands going, that's my line.
Oh no.
Right? And I'm like, oh, sorry man. And the crew is like laughing at me because they're like, what was the production guys running the teleprompter going, I'm right here, are you an idiot? And you know, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. Anyway, but yeah, I fit right in, actually. I couldn't believe. I mean, look, the most metal thing I guess I do with Mr. Big is I did that Rush, or we've done Shy Boy, but that's, you know, just speedy kind of rock, hard rock and roll.
Yeah.
I've never sung like the metal stuff, and I know when people look at me in these European audiences. I mean, they're digging me now, but in the beginning they were like, you don't belong here. What, you're in a different campsite. You should keep going, you know. But I think I fit in pretty good. I mean, I sometimes get all insecure and think I'm just the mascot here, but I always get these emails from Tobias saying, hey man, you're unique, and that's what we want. You know, and he's always saying, you know, is there rules in metal? I don't think, he goes, I make my own rules, and what's wrong with putting a little rock and soul into metal? There's nothing wrong with that at all. And I'm looking around for the guy with the, you know, metal helmet and horns in his hand going, you know, go with me to wherever you gotta go to get fucking punished. Anyway.
You should get with the Manowar guys and tell see if they can get you like some garb that they wear and come out looking like, you know, a member of Manowar.
dude, I've done anything and everything, but my chest isn't hairy enough. I can't do that.
Well, you know, to your point about acceptance, if you think about it 30 years ago, probably it wouldn't fly, but today, it seems like there's more. I mean, shit, 30 years ago, if a guy was bald, his band was going to be ignored. You know what I'm saying? If he didn't have hair. But, I mean, there's so many exceptions now that there weren't back then that, you know, if you go out and kick ass, I think people take notice of that more than either the look or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it is a click, the metal world, especially in Europe. You know, and I totally see it when I'm backstage, and I'm walking around backstage looking for catering, and I see, you know, there's a whole, it's a vibe, you know, the metal world, and it's a vibe. And I'm looking around, I'm going, man, I don't know a soul here. Boom, I see Chuck Billy from Testament, and I go, Chuck, and he goes, Eric, and all of a sudden, I'm accepted.
You hear the click.
Yeah, Chuck, I remember before I've known Chuck Billy for over 20 years, and he's a Bay Area guy, but I've never really heard his music before, and I remember him coming up to me going, man, we should do a duos album. And I'm like, and I like the guy's personality so much. He's such a good-hearted person and a great guy to hang out with and talk with. And I go, God, I don't really know your tunes. And he goes, I know your shit, Eric. I'm like flattered. I'm like, yeah. And I was listening to his music. Well, I actually saw it. We played some gig called Summer Breeze. Big, huge. They played. Avantasia played, 45,000 people, and I heard it, and it was pretty heavy metal, but it definitely had some little melodic twists in it. Yeah. I went out in trouble to the Testament fans going, you're out of line. They don't talk that way. They talk normal. I don't know. It's really still out. I mean, it's been fun. I'm not a... that's not my forte. I'm a rock and soul singer, more melodic hard rock. The metal thing is so much fun, though. That it's like riding a faster horse. It's just something different. Motorcycle, whatever. Jumping out of an airplane. It's just something. It's still music, and I'm still, and I can sing it, and oh, man, I'm screaming and getting all guttural, and, you know. I'm not doing it. There's this woman, Adrienne Cowan, one of the singers in the group, and she sings a couple songs in the new album, and she's got a really good, beautiful rock and roll evanescent style voice, but then she has this growler thing. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what they call it. You know, yeah, growler, right? Growl, or yeah. It's something.
Cookie Monster.
Yeah, I don't do that. Don't be saying Cookie Monster around me now, man. I represent. I always read through the phone and just grab some of that. I'll rip your eyebrows off or something. So, but yeah, she's got that growling thing happening, and it's scary. It's scary, but that's part of the show as well. And it is what it is. I mean, it's all entertainment, and. And it's a great vibe. And I really like the metal fans. They're awesome. And it's a cool kind of uniformity where everybody's got the look. You know, hard rock, everybody's dressed as rock and roll, but like you can dress any way you want. But like the metal world is a little, it's jean, leather, holy, you know.
Yeah.
And what I love about it the most, it's boots and Converse Chuck Taylor All-Stars. Yeah, buddy.
Exactly. That's all you see for real at the shows. Maybe some Vans here and there, but...
If there is a Van, there's not. They're definitely not new. They're like, they're Raggedy Andy's clothes, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
What were you familiar with Jorn Lande?
Jorn Lande? Yeah. No, I mean, no, I wasn't. I wasn't familiar with Ronnie Atkins or Jorn Lande. But I was Bob Catley for the band Magnum. I remember listening to him. Oliver Hartman. Even Jeff. I did listen to Empire back in the day, and there was I did like Queensryche back in the day, but I didn't listen to it a lot. I mean, almost like Rush. I liked it. I didn't. It wasn't in my blood like it was like for Paul Gilbert. Rush was in his blood, you know. Mm-hmm. That. But I didn't know Jorn Lande, but oh my God, if I was there in the studio, I could show you video after video of him just being wild, man. He's the funniest guy ever, and a great, you know. We knock him back, you know. we have a good time drinking a couple beers or more, but he's effortless as a metal, rock and metal singer. I mean, I don't know if he's gonna get in trouble with his fans or Ronnie James Dio fans, but he definitely is second coming. He's really that good. As good. He's close. Very close to Ronnie James Dio.
Dude, I really thought that after Ronnie passed, he did that thing with Heaven and Hell. I think Glenn Hughes was there, and he sang a bunch of the stuff. I was like, and he's such a Dio fan. I thought, man, that guy could pull it off if those guys wanted to continue and did not go back to Sabbath.
Easily. I ask him that all the time. I go, you know, but he also, I mean, he goes, yeah, well, I can also sing like this, and I can sing like this. I go, well, where's your, I know his real voice. I mean, it's a conglomeration or whatever of all those influences. I mean, it's definitely, he's got this dominant metal sound, but yeah, he loves Ronnie James Dio. Just absolutely, and I don't know why he doesn't do something with him, but I don't know, he's doing something.
Well, we were. I was lucky enough to be one of his first U.S. interviews, and so whenever we talk now, it's fun. And the last time I talked to him, he was like traveling through Norway, and you could hear the clicker on the car going when he was turning, and he was like, "Oh, hold on, this guy's in my way." It was great. He's a cool dude. I like Jorn a lot.
Me too. I get videos of him going, clomping through the snow, going, I'm just riding around on my property, like on a snowmobile. Yeah, and he goes, oh, look, I have caribou. Look, he goes, what's your area like? And I go, oh, man, I have a beautiful area. That's the rolling hills, and that deer come right up in turkey. And he goes, oh, yeah, there's a caribou. See it? You know, he's got a one-up me on, like, you know, the deer species or something. I don't know. But, yeah, he's constantly working on his house where he's like, and I like to think of it like some kind of weird Norwegian castle. He just loves this whole Viking thing, too. He calls himself or Toby calls him the Striking Viking.
The Striking Viking.
Striking. And he's always going, like, you know, I'll say, well, you know, I'm single now. And I go, yeah, I'm looking for love in all these crazy places. And he goes, like, I can't do his voice, but he goes, I want to find your wife, a shield maiden. Yeah, and I go, oh, I know what that is. I watch Vikings. Yeah, I want to find your shield maiden. Oh, dude, I could play I was on this radio station in England, and I was talking, and I actually played a piece of him doing that. I have it. He called me up and he goes, you're gonna make me look like a fool. I'm like, no, I'm sorry, man. It's just you're hilarious. And people laughed. And he goes, oh, they laughed, and that's good. He's a really lovable guy and a great, great singer, and just likes to take the piss and I love hanging out with him. He's a guy's guy. He's like the kind of guy. I don't hunt, but I hang out with a guy and pretend to hunt. You know? He's like one of those mans. He's like a manly man.
That's funny. Well, what you said that they're looking to maybe do a second leg of touring for the record.
Yeah.
When's that start?
They're talking about doing. This could be like a third leg. Yikes, that's just wow. Can we start the interview over?
Uh-oh, we gotta punch that one out.
Get your mind out of my gutter. The second half. So we've done 4 to 5 months already, all over the world, but they're talking about doing some festivals and theaters next summer.
Oh, nice.
And that's in Europe and the United States. And I know the fans are going, you talked about it, and hey, between you and me, yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And to the fans, I'm going to be like, yeah, that's hearsay. That's what I hear. That's the rumor mill. That's a rumor mill, but that's the rumor I hear in the mill.
In the mill. Well, I got to ask you about Mr. Big. I know last time we talked after Pat passed, you basically said y'all might do another run of dates and then official farewell tour. Where are you guys at with that? Have y'all rethought it to maybe record something before calling it quits? Or what's the vibe going on right now?
God. Well, I think I lost my leader badge on that. I was, without going into complete detail, I'm going to really try. It's considered just on my tombstone. Long story short, I just keep going and going and going. But I think what I want to say is that after Pat's death, when he had the Parkinson's and he wasn't looking very good, I did an interview and I said, I don't think I want to continue without Pat. And then when Pat died, we had some gigs already. We had a tour booked with Extreme. Mr. Big played with Extreme, and our guy that had been playing with us for a couple of years, Matt Starr, was playing drums. Yeah, and all those times, Pat would be with us, but he would be playing like a cocktail kit, kind of percussion on the side, and singing with me. And not just singing background vocals. I mean, doing the same thing he's been doing with me for 30 years. He was Paul McCartney to my John Lennon. You know, we were those harmonies. So when Pat was gone, and I'm playing these gigs without Pat, and it's just Matt, I'm looking back at Matt. I'm giving Matt a hard time, going, "Hey man, you know those harmonies?" And he's like, "Dude, I got so much to do now." You know,
mm-hmm.
I remember coming home from that tour going, well, that was fun. And I mean, it was hard, but it was fun. Maybe we should do an album, just like you said, like a farewell album. And I was trying to get like all these drummers that were influenced by, or that Pat liked. You know, and I was just throwing out names like Ray Luzier, Greg Bissonette, Mike Portnoy, and I mean, I heard Pat many, many times say how much he enjoyed this guy's playing, and he's such a nice guy. And I thought, well, okay, we'll get all these drummers, and these great drummers, and I'll, you know, me and Paul and Billy will try to create another album. And God, I already had the name of a tour that we were going to do, and, I ran it by my manager, and I think he was like, "Yeah, cool, me. This sounds really good." And then all of a sudden, I think everybody just got. I think those two guys got a little overwhelmed because I was going, "I know we can do this, or we can do that." And then we auditioned. Paul auditioned this drummer that we had played with before, named Adio, from South America, and Paul really liked the guy, and I did too. I really did. I loved this guy's playing, and we're thinking about maybe having him be our drummer on tour. And at the same time, all these other drummers start coming out of the woodwork, writing me and saying, hey, you know, I want to audition for the band. And I'm like, I don't know why I brought it up. I should have just said, no, we already got the guy. But I said, hey, guys, hey, maybe we had to hold off on this Adu thing. Maybe we had to audition these other guys or like, look into them. And I know the other two guys, Mr. Big, really looking at it going, man, you don't know what you want. that's how I was grieving. Yeah, I couldn't let it go. I didn't want to sit at home with nothing to do with a glass of wine or 10 and go, oh, fuck, Pat's dead. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to do something, plan something, or have some goal, or, you know, get all these great people and make it really special. But, you know, it was in my head, and it was on paper, but I wasn't physically ready to pull it off. And I think the guys in the band knew that, and they went like, Eric, man, you're all over the place, man. Let's just regroup some other time or never, you know? And now that I've had a little time to reflect, you know, it was the right decision. I feel bad for the drummer in South America. I feel bad for Matt Starr. I feel bad for people that were called to maybe, you know, people confused out there. And, you know, I just wanted to do something. My heart was in the right place. I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I just wanted to honor our drummer. And I wanted to go out with some kind of a, big farewell, you know, the last hurrah, as I wanted to call it. And I think I wanted to call it the last hurrah, or what was, no, I wanted to call it the big finish.
Oh, nice.
You know, like in a movie theater, you know, like a movie thing. Like, it's the big finish. And it's just, yeah, the big finish is just suspended animation, you know, just floating around there somewhere. Billy is doing his own thing and doing really well at it. Every time I come up, people come up to me, I just saw the Winery Dogs the other day. God, they're good. And I'm really happy for everybody. I'm not, back in the day, I was like, I'm really happy for them, but God, I wish we'd get another Mr. Big album going. I'm not even thinking about that at all anymore. I mean, I think it's when I least expect it'll come, maybe. But I'm not worried about it. We had a great run, and we made a lot of really great music. Paul Gilbert is doing his own thing. He's got that whole electric guitar, and so happy doing what he's doing. And I know this kid, he doesn't like drama. No one does, but he does not like it at all. And he wants to, he liked to just move on, and more power to him, you know. And me, I wish everybody, you know, success and whatever they do. And I'm trying to do my own thing, but there is a little teeny light bulb in the back of my head going, what if, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna. Am I doing it for you or am I doing it for me? I don't know. I just. I wish we could. Honor our brother, our fallen brother, in some kind of way. But we already, I think we already have. You know, we when he was sick, we could have just said, "Hey, man, yes, we'll go on without you." But we didn't. We took him with us, and we needed him. You know, his spirit, and I miss him so much, man. As a person and as a singer and his drumming, I mean, God, I watch YouTube all the time, or when I have to send videos of songs to other musicians that I play with, solo stuff, or I sometimes play with the guys in Trickster, and I send videos to them, and And I'm watching Pat Torpey drumming parts at the same time going, oh my God, what a beautiful, what an amazing drummer and soul, you know. And that's how I honor him while he's got, when he, you know, that he's gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And it's the only thing I can do, but I feel good about it. And I don't feel, I just don't want any, I really don't want any bad blood between me and the guys in the band. We had that a long, long time ago where we broke up, and I just don't want to have that bad blood ever. Again, I don't think we do. We'll always have a friendship on fire, and we'll always have this, like, really, you know, golden sort of bond between the three of us. And that, Torpy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And dude, I like your idea about the getting all the famous drummers. I mean, of course, you'd have to have the one guy to go on tour, but I like that idea, kind of paying tribute to Pat that way. I mean, if it ever came to fruition, I thought it would. Your heart's definitely in the right place there, man.
Yeah, like I said, my heart was in the right place, but I didn't have the tools to make it happen. You got, it's like mental, physically, I was all over the place. If I would have stuck to one thing. Like, okay, the drum idea thing, that didn't work out. We were looking, I think we all agreed about getting, maybe finding a drummer or using that or whatever, or moving forward. So, if I would have just shut the set and just said, okay, we'll try it that way, instead of going, no, what about this? What about that? You know, God, I hate guys like me. They go, I do, I hate them. Like, when you bring in a song and they go, yeah, that's good, but how about this? I hate dudes like that, you know. So yeah, I was that guy, and I paid the price. So it is what it is, and I was so depressed about it, you know, for a couple months, and then I went on the road with Augmentation. All is good. I mean, when I'm working, I'm not thinking about the bad part and the stress and all that stuff, and. And I'm happy on the road.
Well, I'm glad you found the Avitation thing. I think I've seen some clips of you live with them. It looks really awesome. I'm bummed you guys didn't come to Texas. Hopefully next year that will be in the cards. Yeah. That would be awesome, because I would drive anywhere if you didn't make it to Houston to see that. That would be amazing.
You would even drive to, like, Abilene?
Sure. Why not?
Oh, God. It's classic.
But that would be funny if you played, like, some little bitty town that no one knows. You're not playing Dallas, you're not playing Houston, San Antonio, or Austin. You're playing...
Hey, why don't we play, like on the border? Like
Laredo.
Yeah, that would be killer! Laredo! And we could play, like, at some,
Tequila bar.
Like a rodeo.
Oh yeah, there you go.
An abandoned rodeo / drive-in theater. You know?
That would be awesome. Like,
oh, wouldn't it? Tumbleweeds and dust and Lone Star beer. Hell yeah.
Lone Star and Pabst.
Pabst is more, I would say, Northeast. I could be wrong here.
I meant Pearl.
You have your PBRs, but you're more, or maybe that's Hams. That's a Hams in the Midwest. Maybe. I could be completely wrong with my beer lore. But I'm always thinking Lone Star.
Lone Star, yeah, yeah.
Or just drinking, some kind of a hooch out of an armadillo skull.
Some moonshine. Well, so you're doing the thing with Trickster. What do you do with them? Are you playing Trickster stuff and Mr. Big stuff and solo stuff? Or what's that?
Yeah, so I played in Boston the other day, and when I saw Boston, I made 50 miles away in New Bedford. But Boston just sounds better. We played last week. It was a good crowd. It was at a place called The Vault, and it was me, PJ Farley, and Steve Brown from Trickster, and Joey Quesada, who is a drummer for a band called ZO2.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch their show.
No, dude, for my, I had a birthday the other day, and he gave me Z-Rock 1 and Z-Rock 2 seasons. They were hilarious.
They're hilarious, dude. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, your listeners don't know, like, Zero Two was, Pauly Z and David Z, poor David Z, and he's, like, passed away a few years ago. And Pauly Z is singer, David Z bass player, who was in Adrenaline Knob and a bunch of other great bands. And then Joey Quesada on drums. And it was kind of a, it wasn't a Spinal Tap, it was, boy, voicemails are coming. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
They were just like trying to make it. I loved how they integrated like Jim Norton and
A rock band trying to make it, and they would play during the day at kids' parties. Really did this because they even had play kids, rich kids, rich family kids' parties, and then at night play these clubs in New York City. Like, we, you know, in the Bronx and Hoboken and Jersey and all that kind of stuff. But, and they wrote a little script or something, and then they gave it to somebody at IFC Bravo, and they picked it up and they made a television show out of it. And there was all these, like, tons of wrestlers, like Chris Jericho, Roddy Piper, all these guys, Dee Snider, comedians like Greg Giraldo, who's passed away, who's an amazing comedian.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. There's such delivery. And Gilbert Gottfried and Joan Rivers, believe it or not, like, it was like the Hollywood Squares of rock. Anyway, and it's really, really funny. And, it was only like two or three seasons or something, but, so he gave that to me. But, so we played this gig. And I play Mr. Big songs, but not just the, the ones you've heard a million times. It's like the obscure Mr. Big songs and songs from an album called The Stories We Could Tell that we barely ever even touched on tour. So I'll play stuff up from that, and then we play a bunch of trickster stuff, like obviously Give It to Me Good, Heart of Steel, One in a Million, Rockin' Horse, a couple more, I can't remember, but, and then we play some solo stuff of mine, and, it's a good 90 plus minute show, and, there you have it. We kick some butt in Boston / New Bedford.
Nice, man.
New Bedford's a really, really pretty town, too. I used to go there when it was just Bedford. I've been around that long. What else do you want to know? I've told you my whole life story. I have a t-shirt and a sweatshirt on, right? It's cold in the house, and I just opened the door, and it's butt hot outside. But I think I'm more sweating because the whole Mr. Big question.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you, Eric, because I have a Defying Gravity shirt, and I washed it and I wore it and I pulled it from the back and it ripped on me.
Wow, just like the album. All right. That's what I tell. I don't tell everybody this, but like, Defying Gravity. Yeah, you listen to it once and you go, all right, it rips and it's too. You got to give it to Goodwill now. Yeah.
Dude, that is really. It's a really cool record. I've kept it on my iPod since it came out.
I know. I do, and I sang it. And I wrote some of the shit on it, but I think. I've said this to you before, actually. I remember if we go in the archives, but when Paul Gilbert wrote a song called 1992.
Yeah.
And I did not like it when I heard it. I was like, oh, God, this is so corny. Lyrically, and talk about the things. I just kind of felt it was just corny, and it was a kind of our little life story or something done in a tongue-in-cheek way that Paul Gilbert does, Same guy that wrote Green Tin at 60s Line. Yes, that's the same ilk. So, I didn't like it, but it was my prerogative, And I sang it, and I acted, you know, I put my thing in it. I Martinized it, as the band used to say. And then I went on the road, and I sang it on the road, and it just, there was a whole new life with the tune. I liked it better when I was on the road, singing it, playing it. And then I was spinning my back of my head. I'm going, oh, no, I'm ready to record it now. Except in Defying Gravity when we did it, I had 6 days to do the whole album. So that was my problem with that particular album. Well, it was just, yeah, just stressy.
I was going to say, and I told you this last time we talked, if you guys would have put Forever and Back out as a single, I think that might have went somewhere. That was such a killer tune, man.
Oh, cool. I really like the whole idea of the verse and the bridge and everything, but it was a good song. It was a good song. It was definitely an 80s type campfire rock song. Down, a very theatrical, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but people dug it. People dug it.
My daughter calls them bops because you can sing the chorus really easy.
You know what? If the kids like it. My kids are 15 now. They're like, Dad, you still sing? Yeah, they don't care. they don't give a shit. I tell them, you know, hey, guys, you know, I'm going out with Armitage in December, you know, for about a week, you know, playing Greece and Germany and all this thing. And I go, or I'll call them from, hey guys, I'm in Germany, and they remember when I said I was in Oklahoma 4 months ago. They go, still in Oklahoma, Dad? They don't give a shit. They don't care.
I know the feeling. I get the same response from my 16-year-old.
Come on, man. I'd be like, hey, the kids. if your little kids like Forever and Back, then maybe I'm overthinking it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that said, now she just listens to rap and R&B, and it's like overnight it went from like hard rock, classic rock, dad music to all this rap and R&B, and I call it very depressing music. A lot of it is.
Oh, come on, Ragadoosh. Raggle rock. Let's not all get all depressed and sad about our kids and where they're headed. I mean, my kids used to come to my gigs and they had the laminates and they'd go, hey, Dad, can we go anywhere we want? I'd go, yeah, kids, Dad, this is awesome. And now they watch porn. No, that's not true. Now they're into sports.
Well, that could be a sport.
Sports are really close. These front teeth are always messing up, especially in voice texting. Anyhow, they're engulfed in sports, and like mainly basketball, and they're really good at it, and they're great students and everything, but they could give it. I go, do you guys, do you remember jumping on your bed and singing, you know, How in the Hell? You remember that a little bit? Because that's fresh in my memory. That's when I go, oh, man, I have two beautiful, you know, 5-year-old boys. Yeah, 10 years later, couldn't give a crap.
On a much smaller level, my bragging rights, will we be in the car listening to like Carenation, and her friend would be in the car. My daddy's talked to that guy, on, you know, say, Winger or somebody like that. And I'm like, oh wow, she's proud now. She didn't really care anymore.
Hey, first of all, I'm glad you said you're a little kid, because I'm your 16-year-old. But my daddy, he talked to that guy.
That'd be a problem.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That'd be fucked up. They were like, which way are we going, Thunder? Oh, my God. My daddy said, okay, get back in the box. All right. So, hey, man, I just want to throw it out to Genghis. This is Eric Martin, your old friend. And when I say old, I mean old as fuck, and older than you. Happy birthday, young blood, and if I had a drink in my hand right now, or a hat, I would drink it and tip my hat off to you, kind sir. Go conquer the world. All right, that's and go fuck yourself.
He'll appreciate that, believe me.
Oh, of course he will. That is some good shit. Now, you just tied it together just a little bit so it didn't have so many fucking man pause stutter, you know? Like stuttering John.
Exactly. Well, Eric, man, it's been awesome talking to you as always. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to tell the fans out there?
No. Now, that would be... Nobody ever said that. The media, they're in shock first, and then they're canceling, like, my whole Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of shit. You know what I'm going to say. You can read my mind. If you do know me, we're brothers, or, you know, we're really, really good friends, all my brothers and sisters out there. And if you don't know me, you know, please, you know, check out my music. I've been around for a very long time, and I've hung out with some of the greats, especially like Billy Sheehan and Paul Gilbert and Pat Torpy, who still play in a band with, you know, Mr. Big. It hasn't, I've had or heard no word from the top, but it's still going. And please, you know, listen to my music. But to everybody, thank you for carrying the torch for me all these years and keeping me, all right, spoiler alert, sappy alert, alive and kicking. Yeah, buddy.
Nice, I like it. You brought it back to us here.
Yeah. I kind of like, no, I thought it was hilarious. Come on. No. Oh, I've run into rock and roll people that have talked that way, and then, you know. And I'm waiting for them to, like, go, I'm just kidding. But some of them don't. Anyway, yeah, I'm not that guy.
Well, Eric, we want to thank you for coming back on the Genghis and Ragman show. And we want to tell all the fans to catch Eric live with Avantasia or with the Trickster guys or whatever he's up to. And the benefit we talked about in November. And,
Check out, you know, PJ just told me about a couple gigs here. I also have this, am I still going?
You're still going, babe.
Do I have a PS here?
You have a PS.
I do have, other than Eric Martin featuring members of Trickster, or whatever we call it, no name yet. I do have another side thing.
Erickster.
No, don't do that. Okay, two no's in a row. I like Circus Lemonade. No, that's not good either. That's not good. Like, if you can't get Trickster, why do you, you know, you can't get Mr. Big, Circus Lemonade. Anyway, I have another kind of like side thing. It's just Eric Martin and the PJ Farley from Trickster, and then this incredible percussionist named Ben Hands, who ironically, he's a percussionist. His name is Ben Hands, but it's H-A-N-S, and he's a percussionist with Kiplinger. And the three of us played a gig together in Richmond, Indiana, at the Firehouse, and it clicked, man. It was really, really good. And we have a couple gigs. It's going to be popping up on my Facebook and rest of social media. It's November, it's like one of the 22nd, 23rd, something like that. We're going to be playing out in New York and in Rome, New York. Not New York, Rome, New York, but even better.
Exactly. A piece of Italy in New York.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the next thing that I will be doing is this benefit for my friend Mark Trolley, the Blue Note in Napa, California. Two shows, Eric Martin and friends. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I've enjoyed talking with you, my friend, as always.
Eric, always awesome talking to you, man. Good luck with everything. And, dude, let's stay in touch. And if you got something else going, dude, text me or something, and we'll set something else up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've talked about everything I've been doing and all that. And, there's always something. Something always comes up every couple weeks. And I definitely will keep you in the loop, okay?
Sounds good, man. Thanks for the time, Eric. Always great talking to you, buddy. And good luck with everything, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Ragnar. See you later, man.
This has been Genghis
and Ragman,
and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.